proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another program about hard sayings from the Bible. After the flood ceased, according to Genesis, God informed Noah, quote, "I establish my covenant with you and with your seed afterwards," unquote. Later in that passage, though, God added, quote, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth," unquote. With whom did God make a covenant? Noah or every living creature? If the latter is the case, how could God make a covenant with non-sentient beings? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a covenant consists of a formal written agreement between two or more people, businesses, countries, etc. Did God make two covenants, one with Noah and one with every living being? One way to resolve this problem involves interpreting the nature of this transaction. The text might have implied that God made a single covenant, but with two parts. One part relating to Noah and his progeny, another part relating to the animal kingdom. That portion of the covenant which applied to Noah and his descendants dealt with four main matters. God first commanded them to, quote, "be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," unquote. The same command he issued to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then God put the fear of man into every animal and every fish. God also allowed Noah and his descendants to eat meat, whereby he had previously forbade them from doing so. Finally, God instituted capital punishment, a process whereby an individual who killed another person would forfeit his own life for that deed. As we'll discover in a later lesson, the Mosaic Law modified that provision to a degree. The second part of God's agreement included Noah, his descendants, and every other life form. The main provision of that part was this: while the earth existed, God promised he would never send another flood to inundate it. The covenant God made in Genesis chapter 9 served as an unconditional agreement. He obligated himself to refrain from performing a certain action. That covenant did not require the other parties to the agreement to do anything for it to take effect. God made similar arrangements with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, he told the patriarch, quote, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates," unquote. He also told Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 17, that, quote, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee," unquote. Note that Abraham did not have to undertake any action on his own behalf for those provisions of his agreement with God to take effect. God's covenant in the 9th chapter of Genesis was a similar arrangement. He acknowledged that the human race would continue to work wickedness on the earth if allowed to grow. Yet he bound himself not to destroy the earth by a flood. In this way, God demonstrated his long-suffering, namely that he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another program about hard sayings from the Bible.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.